Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Kimberly Lickmalter, and I am waiting for Mark to come on tonight. He should be on any minute. This is Fundamentally Mormon. Oh, here he is right now. If you want to call into the guest call-in, you can at 917-889-8827, so you can listen to the full live portion before it's archived. Can you hear me, Mark?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. Okay, good.
We're going to be reading One Mighty and Strong tonight, Part 3. I wasn't able to finish it last night, so, because I talked too much. So, Kim, do you have the book open?
I am getting it right now, but I was trying to get two kids ready for camp. They're leaving tomorrow, and they were, of course, not done until last minute, so we've been doing all that. And I wasn't really
prepared. We keep threatening them
that
they're... Yeah, we keep threatening him, if you don't get your stuff done, you're going to stay home and you're going to spend your whole time for camp in your bedroom with the exception of going to the bathroom. And you will eat in your bedroom and you will clean your bedroom and you wore pajamas for a week. No TV, no outside. They don't really take us
seriously. Unfortunately, they didn't believe me or you. So because they didn't believe us, then, you know, it's not really all done, but... What can you do? Okay, I was checking battery life also. Okay, which one of these are we on? The last one I have on in here that I did hard copy was in his joke section. So, which one am I on? One Mighty and Strong.
Yep,
that's presented at the Sunstone Symposium, August 1991 by Ogden Crowe. It's in the End Time to the Nations. Volume 3 is on page 1674.
Yeah, and on the pamphlet itself, we are on page 13 of the pamphlet.
So actually, if we're on the pamphlet,
so I guess
ourselves,
they should call it
we're
a booklet.
Not on that page.
What did you say?
So if we're on 13, we're on 1677 in that book that I was just talking about. If you're on page 13 in the pamphlet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll just start. Kim hasn't been on lately because she's been really, really, really busy trying to get ready for her new job. She got hired as a teacher. She's really happy about that in case you couldn't tell.
Yay.
Anyway, So I'll just start the reading. The Prophet Joseph Smith. Many still think that Joseph Smith will yet fill the position of One Mighty and Strong, and justifiably so. So Ogden Crowe thinks that Joseph Smith is One Mighty and Strong. He is One Mighty and Strong. There are 15 for each earth. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are considered mighty and strong before for the first presidency, basically. And there are 12 others who are mighty and strong, 4 for each dispensation. Just like John the Baptist prepared the way for the coming of Yeshua, who the Gentiles called Jesus, Joseph Smith prepared the way for Zion's redemption and for the One Mighty and Strong to come set the house of God in order. So the only reason I know that is because when I asked God, well, God told me, you know, because he'd been telling me for a while, and I just refused to listen. I was like, I am not that, you know, but I'm not the one that my aunt got revelation that I was the One Mighty and Strong, the one, like there's only one, right? And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm just, you know, yeah, I've had these really great spiritual experiences, you know, from the time I was a teenager all the way up until, you know, through my life. But I was like, no, I'm not, you know, and she kept on going on and on about it. And anyway, finally, Heavenly Father came to me and he said, kneel down before me and ask me who you are. And so I did. And I was shown why I was chosen as one of the ones mighty and strong, as the second witness of the Father, why I embrace the Father in the flesh and also embrace Yeshua in the flesh. And, like, you know, and I always used to think, well, like, not even Joseph Smith did that. Like, he saw the Father and the Son, but he didn't embrace them. Like, why was I given, like, I didn't understand for 10 years. And then, anyway, finally, I was shown the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost sitting, you know, before a vast congregation. And immediately in front of them, there were 12 who were generals in the armies of heaven. And I was told these were the mighty and strong ones. And I was chosen from among them to take a specific place. And but Joseph Smith was there, right next to me, in this this vision that I had. So he is one mighty and strong, but he's not the one that's going to set the house of God in order. Everybody flips out about Section 85 and says, you know, Jesus says, I will send one mighty and strong. He doesn't say, I will send the one mighty and strong. And I believe that the one mighty and strong that Jesus spoke of that set the house of God in order is actually Father Adam at Adamanandiamond, because it goes right along with what happens at Adamanandiamond. I don't have revelation on that or confirmation of the Holy Spirit, but that's what I believe. I believe that the mighty and strong one who goes among the drunkards of Ephraim, who teaches they who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, is myself. But John the Baptist, Yochanan the Immerser, actually was, you know, or Yochanan, Ben Zechariah, you know, Peter, James, and John, and Joseph Smith, and there's, you know, there's others. So I don't know who they all are, but I know that Joseph Smith was one of them. Anyway, so Ogden Kraut here believes that Joseph Smith is the one mighty and strong that will come back as a reincarnated person, I think, or a resurrected person. The problem with that is Joseph Smith taught that once the authority is on the earth, that no angel will come to ordain anymore, right? So the priesthood never left the earth. But you have to have specific authority to set the house of God in order. Now, Nephi saw all the things that that John the Revelator saw, that he recorded in Revelations, that he wasn't allowed to write it because it wasn't his place. He was not foreordained to do that, but he was shown many things. John had the authority to do it because that was what he was foreordained to do. So, basically, I don't even know where I was going with that. I got distracted by a cop driving by. I'm sitting at a gas station in Huntington, Utah, talking to you guys. Anyway, but, what I was going to say. Now, why can't anybody just set the house of God in order? Because you've got the priesthood, you've got specific keys and all of this and that, you know? Well, you think you do anyway, but it's not for anybody just to set the house of God in order. Somebody can't just come along like Denver Snuffer, Jake Hilton, or any of these guys and do the work of setting the house of God in order. Part of the One Mighty and Strong's mission is to teach they who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. But it is also to set the house of God in order, because they cannot do what the One Mighty and Strong can do. And part of that is when I was sealed up to the Father under his own hands, I was sealed up into eternal life, and I was made a sealing link to the Father, the Son, and all they who are sealed to them for this generation. And without that, the full setting in order cannot happen. And Joseph Smith cannot do that. And even though he was the sealing link for his generation, once the authority is given to man on the earth, according to Joseph Smith, no angel can come and do that which is given to mortals on the earth to do. So, but anyway, continuing, and Ogden knew this. I don't understand why he knew that, but he still thought that Joseph was somehow going to come back as a reincarnated or resurrected being. Anyway, and it's kind of funny because, like, some people are like, well, Joseph Smith has to do it. He's going to be reincarnated. I'm like, how do you know I'm not the reincarnated Joseph Smith? Oh. Anyway. Kim, do you see what we're reading?
Did. Were you reading the Prophets of Smith? Which number are you on?
I'm on the first. First, Joseph Smith holds the keys of the whole dispensation. Oh, and the other thing, too. I got to say it real quick. Kim, I know. One paragraph, and I'm going off on tangents. Okay, that's why it takes us a half of a year to go through one stupid book. Not stupid, but anyway. Okay. So, everybody's like, this is the last dispensation. Oh, Joseph Smith said that before the last dispensation, Elijah must come again to do a certain work. And that's in the words of Joseph Smith by Andrew E. Hatt. Okay, so Joseph Smith spoke of other dispensations beyond this, or beyond the dispensation that he started. However, people don't realize that this might be, we might be in the last dispensations of the telestial earth. But when the terrestrial earth comes in, that will begin a new dispensation. This isn't the last dispensation. Like, everybody's like, it's the end of the world, so everything just stops. No, there's so much more that has to happen. The millennial reign has to happen, and then the last great day has to happen, which is an additional 1,000 years. And then what happens after that? The new heavens and the new earth. Why do we have a new heavens and a new earth? Because, well, multiple mortal probations, if you know anything about that. I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to let my wife read, because she is so much faster than me. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay, second, if the setting in order takes place with all the house of God, it will require more authority than that of a bishop. Third, he must be an immortal being, since he will have light for recovering, meaning he cannot be mortal. Fourth, it has been prophesied that Joseph Smith will return to the earth in the flesh to lead the saints. I would like to know where does it say that. Fifth, he fills all the qualifications mentioned in section 85.
It is speculation by Brigham Young. Brigham Young threw that out there. Brigham Young never received any Thus Saith the Lord revelations. The stuff Brigham Young taught was taught to him by Joseph Smith. He never received any revelation telling him that Joseph Smith would be reincarnated. The light for recovering thing, those are Hebrew idiomisms. It doesn't mean that he's going to be a resurrected being. Jesus didn't say, I will send the one mighty and strong, a resurrected being. That goes against the laws of heaven. You do not send resurrected beings to do the work that mortals are committed to do on the earth. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. The Book of Mormon mentions one mighty among them and his special work. This has been interpreted as being Joseph Smith because of the inclusion of the world or the word restoration. Wherefore, because of this covenant, thou art blessed, for thy seed shall not be destroyed, for they shall hearken unto the words of the book, and there shall rise up one mighty among them. Who shall do much good, both in word and in deed, being an instrument in the hands of God with exceeding faith to work mighty wonders, and to do the thing which is great in the sight of God, unto the bringing to pass much restoration, unto the house of Israel, and unto the seed of thy brethren. 2 Nephi 3:23-24. It is very probable that Joseph Smith fulfilled this prophecy regarding what has already been restored, and also that which is yet to come forth, such as the rest of the Book of Mormon. In 1878, David Whitner mentioned the second great work in an interview with Dr. Polson. He said that there will be a smashing up of this nation, about which time the second great work has to be done, a work like Joseph did, and the translation of the sealed plate. Deseret News, August 16, 1878. On September 22, 1835, 5 years after the publishing of the Book of Mormon, Oliver Cowdery gave a patriarchal blessing to Joseph Smith, wherein he told him that his work with Nephite records was not yet finished. The records of past ages and generations and the histories of ancient days shall he, Joseph Smith, in parentheses, bring forth. Even the record of the Nephites shall he again obtain. with all those hid up by Mormon and others who were righteous, and many others till he is overwhelmed with knowledge. Unpublished Revelations compiled by Fred Collier, pages 76 and 77. In a parable of the vineyard and the 12 olive trees, D&C 101, 41 through 62, the vineyard was taken over by the enemy. But one of the servants came back and put it in order. In section 103, the Lord explains that my servant, Joseph Smith Jr., in parentheses, is the man whom I likened to the servant. I know exactly what they're talking about before I even say this, and he's wrong. That's not what it says. Is the man to whom I liken the servant to whom the Lord of the vineyard spake in the parable which I had given unto you. D&C 103:21. So if you go in and you read that, you read how the sections are in that specific section and how it is written, it does not actually say that it is Joseph.
Yeah. It actually, like, I don't know if people realize this or not, but they, like, would compile a whole bunch of different stuff out of the writings of Joseph Smith and compile, you know, different sections.
Yep.
You've got one thing that ends and another thing that begins. And I think it was Brigham Young that was trying to make it seem like Joseph Smith is that person. But you can see, if you have any literary English knowledge of how sentence structures work, you can see the end of one and the beginning of the other. So, you know, and Jesus is talking about the one might, or not, he was talking about the man like unto Moses, who would redeem Zion with power, and everybody thought that was Joseph Smith. But in Moroni, when he went to Joseph Smith, and as found in verse 40 of Joseph Smith history, the angel tells him that the one spoken of in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, who is the one like unto Moses, had not yet been rejected by his people, but soon would be. If you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it's talking about the man like unto Moses. And everybody thinks it's Jesus. And maybe it is, but, you know, multiple people can hold that a specific role. A Moses in the last days, according to from the Dead Sea Scrolls, according to Joseph, son of Isaac, or son of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, said that there would be somebody of his lineage in the last days who would gather the people with power. In section 103, it says that the man like unto Moses. Jesus says this even. Okay, Jesus says that he's going to send a man like unto Moses to redeem Zion with power. That shows that it wasn't Jesus who was the man like unto Moses. And when Moroni says the man of Acts chapter 2 verse 38, which is referring to the man like of Moses, has not yet been rejected by his people but soon would be, he's talking about somebody else that would come, another prophesied servant of God that would come, redeem Zion with power, and set the house of God in order, as spoken of in section 85. It's not Joseph Smith, because we talked about why it can't be Joseph Smith. The laws of heaven prohibit it. And it's not Jesus Christ. It is a third servant. Joseph Smith said that God the Witness, or the Holy Ghost, still needed to come on the earth to take a mortal body to do the same or similar things that Jesus did. That's in the words of Joseph Smith by Andrew Ehat. Talks about that. He said it in 1842 and 1844, right before he died. So, you know, it's not Joseph Smith. I'm sorry to tell you. Anyway, go ahead, Kim.
Okay. It just finishes off that little paragraph. So here the Lord very plainly identifies that person who is to return and set things in order. Since Zion was not redeemed during the prophet's mortal lifetime, isn't it likely that the Lord will allow him to return at a future time to set things in order and to bring about the redemption of Zion? I don't know about you, but in all the history of all the world, does that happen? Ever? I'm being literal.
I got you muted because I've got, I'm driving down the
background.
Road and there's no air conditioning of this truck, so the background's pretty loud, so I'll mute myself again.
Since sign was not redeemed in their prophets, okay, I just read that part. Sorry, I was trying to find my place again. The apostle Orson Pratt apparently believed that Joseph Smith could be this mighty person. The Lord had said unto him, before the rise of this church, that he would grant unto him eternal life, even though he should be slain, which certainly was an indication that he might be slain, but we still were in hope that he would live and that he would be the man who, like Moses, would lead this people from bondage. I did not know, but he will yet. God's arm is not shortened, that he cannot rise him up even from the tomb. And if the Lord sees proper to being forth, to bring forth that man just before the winding up to lead forth the army of Israel, he will do so. Journal of Discourse 15:363. I think this is just all trying to justify, to make something out of it so that they can justify him being this person, I guess. Farley P. Pratt gave an interesting testimony after he heard about the martyrdom. He says in Autobiography of Farley P. Pratt, page 333, as I walked over the plains of Illinois towards Nauvoo, the Spirit said unto me, lift up your head and rejoice, for behold, it is well with my servant Joseph Smith, or Joseph and Hiram. My servant Joseph still holds the keys of my kingdom in this dispensation. End quote. Did you have something to say? I know you unmuted for a minute.
No, go ahead. I'm almost at Castledale, and I have a dead spot here, so.
Okay. Brigham Young also testified of this, according to Wilfer Woodruff's journal entry of July 30th, 1847, about a week after the Saints arrived in the Salt Lake Valley. Woodruff stated that President Brigham Young closed with the Spirit of God to address the Saints far more than an hour. We should yet have brothers Joseph and Hiram and many of the Saints in their resurrected bodies with us on earth. Wilfred Woodruff, Journal 3, 244. And
It's so funny because, Brigham Young was like, I'm going to come back and be president of the United States of America as a resurrected being, and Heber C. Kimball will be my vice president. And, I seriously think the guy was smoking dope. I'm sorry to say that, but, some of the things that he went off on, which is good. Brigham Young needed to smoke dope, so he wasn't, chasing people down, having them murdered for being apostates, which he did up in Ogden. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. Thomas More, I think, and that whole band up in...
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I can't stand the man. But anyway, go ahead.
When the resurrected prophet does return to the earth, which has never happened in all of history of the world, and it doesn't say anything about a resurrected prophet coming back. But anyway, still holding the position of leader of this dispensation, it would be out of order for him to be subservient to some other mighty and strong. It would also be out of order, this is me, it would also be out of order for him to come back resurrected and be a prophet on the earth, because if somebody needed to be resurrected, brought back to the earth, Christ did that, and he could have come back and done it himself. Anyways, this is ridiculous. Anyways, it would be out of order for him to be subservient to some other mighty and strong who was born and lived in the dispensation. In fact, he would apparently...
That's another thing. Good. You know what? All the prophets are supposed to give their keys back to Father Adam, Michael, Michael the Archangel, whatever, because he is one mighty and strong. He's over Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
He's over me. He's over all of us. He
mm-hmm.
will give them back, and we will all give our keys that we have been given by the Father back to Michael, Father Adam. And it says in Daniel chapter 7 that he would prepare until the Ancient of Day, or until the Son of Man comes, or whatever. Until the end comes. So this kingdom is supposed to be on the earth with the return of Zion's redemption, the return of the city of Enoch on the earth. And Joseph Smith's going to have to relinquish his authority of his dispensation to Father Adam, who is also one of the ones mighty and strong, who is the father of us all. All of us. Anyway, go ahead, Kim.
He, Joseph Smith, shall sit in the great assembly and general council of patriarchs and execute the will and commandment under the direction of the Ancient of Days, for he shall have his place and act in his station. Unpublished Revelations, Collier, page 77. Heber C. Kimball also believed that Joseph Smith would return in a leadership capacity for the redemption of Zion. Probably because all these people couldn't get revelation to themselves, and so they just were walking off of whatever they could off of the previous president, I guess. Anyway.
Well, all of this comes after the church was rejected, which Jesus said would happen in section 124. If they didn't do what they said they were going to do, they would be rejected as a church with their dead. Section 124, it's right around verse 35-ish, 35 to 40-ish, right in that area. Go look at it for yourself, you know? So all
Desert
of these guys after the rejection, all these guys after the rejection, they start speculating, lots of speculation, but no revelation, you know? Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so in Deseret News, May 23rd, 1931, also Prophecy in Modern Times, Cleon Skousen, pages 31 and 32, it says, the western boundary of the state of Missouri, will be swept so clean of its inhabitants that, as President Young tells us, when you return to that place, there will not be left so much as a yellow dog to wag his tail. Before that day comes, however, the saints will be put to test that will try the integrity of the best of them. The pressure will become so great that the more righteous among them will cry unto the Lord day and night until deliverance comes. Then the prophet and others will make their appearance, and those who have remained faithful will be selected to return to Jackson County, Missouri, and take part in the upbuilding of the beautiful city in the New Jerusalem, end quote. So there's only 90 seconds left in the program. If you want to call in to the guest call-in line, you can call 917-889-8827 to hear the rest of this tonight. If not, you can listen into it in the archives, which will be, where do you post that, Mark?
Zion's Redemption Bookstore on, it's a page on Facebook. So if you go on Facebook, you just type in Zion's Redemption Bookstore on, in the search option, and you'll find it very easy. I got something to say.
Okay. Again?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for this?
Let go.
We received a revelation about a year and a half ago that Brigham Young made up that revelation to scare the saints into following him into the Rocky Mountains. Iowa gave safe passage to the saints, and they actually wanted the saints to settle in Iowa, the river from Nauvoo, which in section 125 was a command to build up Zarahemla in Iowa. We also received a revelation that commandment to build up Zarahemla across the river from Iowa was still in, like, God never withdrew it. The other thing, too, it's interesting. Satellite images of that area show that there is the foundation of a temple, an ancient temple, right in the marsh, right by the Mississippi River, right where Zarahemla is supposed to be. To be built up. They didn't have to come out to the Rocky Mountains. I know a lot of people are like, well, there was a revelation. No, there wasn't. They were speculating on where they were going to go. But they were never told to go to the Rocky Mountains. God knew they would, you know, because the church would be rejected. And Brigham Young wanted to get them out where he could control them completely. So that's why they came out to Utah. But as far as, like, a revelation, let's see. Brigham Young made it up so that, you know, the whole annihilation, desolation, whatnot, to cause fear in the Saints so that they would not stay behind. Well, not everybody went along with that. People knew that Brigham Young was full of crap. And, like, Emma, she knew. She didn't follow him out there, you know. And they're still waiting for that to happen. Anyway, go ahead, Kim.
Okay. So, in probably the last public discourse of Joseph Smith to the Saints, he prophesied in Diary of John E. Forsgren, Fate of the Persecutors, 1, Wall, page 154. You will gather many people into the fastness of the Rocky Mountains as a center for the gathering of the people, and you will be faithful because you have been true, and many of those that come under your ministry because of the much learning will seek for high positions, and they will be set up and raise themselves in eminence above you. But you will walk in the low places unnoticed, and you will know all that transpires in their midst, and those that are my friends will be your friends. This I will promise you, that when I come again to lead you forth, for I will go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you shall be with me. End quote. And I just want to say that they bold and italicized that when I come again to lead you forth. They bold that to make that seem like that's what he's saying. Is he coming back down? But I don't know, because a lot of people even now say that they went ahead of you so that they could create a place in the eternities for you and stuff like that. So anyway, it's still subject to interpretation. There is not time to mention other references that Joseph Smith is the prime candidate for this position of One Mighty and Strong, that his mission on earth as the leader of this dispensation is not yet complete. We can take consolation on the promise that if the church should get out of order, the Lord will set it back in order rather than allow it to fall into total apostasy as it did after the Christian era. Regardless of the speculation of Joseph Smith being that One Mighty and Strong, we also have the promise that Zion will be redeemed and we shall once again hail to the prophet Joseph, as one of our hymns so beautifully describes. Hail to the prophet, ascended to heaven. Traitors and tyrants now fight him in vain. Mingling with God, see him plans for his brethren. Death cannot conquer the hero again. Millions shall know brother Joseph again. Praise to the man, page 147, 1957 LDS handbook. So they're saying that as scripture too, I guess. Anyways, that's the end of this pamphlet. The next one is The Polygamy of David and Solomon, From Triumph to Tragedy by Ogden Kraut. And I do not know if Mark is on, because
I am.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to add about that?
Not really.
I think you hashed it out pretty good.
Yeah. I'm actually just positioning myself on the Grizzly at Hunter Power so that
okay.
I can release the coal. And I'm waiting for the guy to tell me when. So, I don't know what else to say about that. If anybody wants to get more into detail, I did cover this in The Kingdom of God or Nothing, which you can also find at blogtalkradio.com/ The Kingdom of God or Nothing. Just look in the archives, and you'll see, like, it was one of the last books that I covered, and it was, you know, it's called The One Mighty and Strong. So. There. Now I'm getting all my coal rocks off. It's kind of cool. They got these things. You drive over the top of them, and it's like these huge grates. And belly dumps open up on the bottom. And the coal goes straight down into this hopper that carries it up on a conveyor belt and puts it on a pile. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm emptying out my my coal buckets. So anyway, but yeah, like anybody can go, you know, check that out. Also, If people want to, you can also find the Kingdom of God or Nothing on iTunes as a podcast. And there's 200 shows there, the most recent 200 shows. But if you want to, like, go back even further, that there's 461 shows archived at blogtalkradio.com/the Kingdom of God or Nothing, where we've read lots of different books. Paradise, Pre-Existence, Resurrection, the Visions and Prophecies of the Last Days, Revelation, the Revelation of, you know, the Great Revolution of America. You know, I mean, it's just, we spent years reading these books onto that format for people to listen to. So there's still a lot for us to read, and we'll work on that in the years to come if, you know, if we can. But, you know, people can go there and take a look at that, or just go read them for themselves online at ogdencrowd.com. You can also buy the books on eBay or Amazon from time to time. They'll be for sale. People will be selling their books or new ones. And also, Kevin, Ogden's son, our friend, you know, he sells these books, too, for people to read if you want a hard copy to take a look at. So, plug that. He lives in Santa Quinn, but he can, you know, he's set up. He can run a credit card or take a check or cash, and they will ship you the books, whichever one that you want. So, throw that out there. Anyway, Do you have anything else to say about anything?
No, I didn't agree with that section, though, or pretty much anything that we read. But everybody's entitled to their own viewpoint,
like,
I guess.
You know, everybody thinks that all these prophecies in the Old Testament are all about Jesus, and they're not. You know, there's other servants of God who are supposed to come and do things. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, talk Jesus down. He is the most important person to live, to redeem us from the fall of death and hell. That's what a Messiah does. But, you know, Christianity thinks everything's about Jesus, and they twist things to like, try to make it make sense to them, which includes actually mistranslating scriptures. As the Jews will tell you, any learned rabbi will be like, that's not saying what you think it says. Like, these words aren't translated the way you think it is translated. But, you know, you can't get through a hard-headed Christian, just like you can't get through a hard-headed Jew or a hard-headed Mormon. But they do the same thing with Joseph Smith. They say, well, all these things are about Joseph Smith when he comes back. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, he had his chance on the earth. He did the best he could do. He couldn't teach the people because they weren't ready for the full restoration, but he laid the foundation of Zion. And like, people don't even listen to what he had to, you know, the revelations that he had, they don't even listen to them. Like Fred Collier, he actually had to smuggle out those unpublished revelations out of the church's archives. He used to work there. He smuggled out several revelations through a window in the bathroom where somebody was waiting to take them. That's how he got the unpublished revelations. You could probably buy them on Amazon. He lives down in Mexico now. I think I met him one time. We've met his son. He's got a lot of sons. Who we like. Well, all the ones that I know I like anyway. But, you know, of course, I heard that Fred Collier thinks he's the one mighty and strong too. So maybe we should get in a boxing match.
You guys should all form a group.
We should just be thrown into a cage and just go at it. Whoever's the last one standing is the one mighty and strong. And just let me tell you, I have been in hundreds of fights in my lifetime, not because I wanted to. It's just the way things were, and I've only lost two. So just let the other ones who are mighty and strong know that I'm mightier than they all. Just kidding.
You're a dork.
I know.
You have a really weird sense of humor, and people are not, I know, people are not going to think that you were joking about that, but FYI, that was a joke. That's his weird sense of humor that he has, and he's kidding.
Yeah.
Just saying. Oh,
people don't get it. People don't get me. A lot of people twist my words, too. Oh, you said this, that, and the other. I'm like, I didn't say that. That's not what I meant. And they'll argue with me, like, about what I meant. I'm like, I'm the one that said it. I think I know what I meant, you know? Anyway, I'm going back. Yeah, apparently. So we're in the age of desolation right now, which began in January of 2017 and will end April 6th. Of 2019, and then I don't know what happens past that. Seriously, don't have any idea. I haven't been given a whole lot of information. I've just been sent to speak to people and to declare a bold witness that the Father and the Son live, that they both have resurrected bodies. Yes, the Father has a resurrected body. You know, Jake Hilton was like, yeah, God's a giant. Like, no, he's not. We're made in his express image. Jesus is made in his express image. He did not come as a giant. He is a man that's about between 5 and 6 feet tall, which I couldn't tell exactly because, you know, the Father was standing about 3 feet off the ground when I saw him and embraced him with my head against his chest. But Jesus is about the same height I am. So, you know, whatever. I'm 5'11". He's a little bit shorter than me, but anyway, I guess we're done with that, so we can just end the program. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and Baruch Hashem, which means blessed be the name of the Father, and Shalom.
Shalom.